You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, Head of Wealth at Kratos Capital, and also David Shapiro, Head of all sorts of things at Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg as well. And I don't know, David, I always start with you because you're only on twice a week. I don't know where this is going to end now, because Greg and I went through the ShopRite numbers that had come out at 9 o'clock this morning. We were speaking after half an hour and we looked at them and I said, they're not even keeping up with inflation. They've cut their dividend by 32%. And I thought, why is the share price holding up as well as it is? And suddenly I look at my screen and it's appalling. And the rest of the retailers have been dragged down quite significantly with it. Tell me your thoughts, please.
I think people who attended the presentation weren't overly impressed with where they are. And that appears to be the issue. In other words, Peter Engelbrecht, who's the new CEO, didn't inspire confidence in the future and give a suggestion that they really know where they're going. There were a lot of contradictory issues as well. And I need to go through the results in a lot more detail in order to establish what the real problem was. But Lindsay, I think one of the issues is they're taking on a lot of dollar debt, which is to fund expansion into out of Africa. On the other hand, they're raising money by doing leasebacks or sale and leasebacks of their distribution centers and so on. So there seemed to be a contradiction. The other one that seemed to worry analysts was that the stock levels have gone up. And the question was raised, you've got all these fancy systems, why are stock levels going? So, I mean, the bottom line is that I think you've got a business where even though inflation is picking up, volumes in South Africa are not increasing. I'm sure there are a lot of other issues in that, but there's a big worry that momentum is slowing down. And also the African operations are not giving the kind of required returns.
Well, 74.9% is in South Africa. So obviously South Africa is still the bulk of their business. Greg, you sent one of your analysts there, Ron Clippen, to the presentation, which was at 11 o'clock this morning. Ronnie Clippen, the man with the darkest hair in the world. What did he come back with, Greg?
Well, to be honest, he sat with his Bose headphones on, listening to the webinar. I hate that word. But yeah, I just saw his frown getting... But Peter Engelbrecht didn't give a great account of himself. And almost as he spoke, and certainly as we got towards the question time, the share price started to fall. I just popped out for half an hour. When I left here, it was 137. When I got back, it was 128. Law clients weren't happy with me. And they said, let us know if anything happens. But the speed of the fall, but I think what David is saying is right. ShopRite is a gold standard in terms of retailers. They cover every base. They've got the bottom, the high, the low, the middle of the market. They're supposed to be the most well-run. They've probably overstretched themselves into Africa. And it hit on to the other retailers. But people were saying, ShopRite can't get the recipe right. And maybe Willys can't, certainly Pick and Pay. I think David pointed out, had a downgrade from Goldman Sachs. So it's a difficult day for retailers and led down by ShopRite.
Is this a corporate story? Because they've spent too much money on distribution, or they're spending too much money by going into the high end. In other words, I think they've got 21 shops that have been upgraded to something called Fresh X, or anyway, to attract the Woolworths type of customer in the past. Have they spent too much money on that? Have they miscalculated, David? Or is this a South African African economy story?
That's what I think it is. And I think all our businessmen, or a lot of our businessmen, have got this completely wrong. They were far too optimistic on the outlook for the South African economy. There was a belief that it would pull itself up and, you know, would recover. No one looked at the signs. And those signs were the deteriorating institutions. You know, you could see that government wasn't doing its story. We know that Eskom had its problems. We know the high levels of unemployment. And there didn't seem to be a plan that could turn it around. And yet we kind of, let me say, CEOs or businessmen or boards, whatever it was, just pushed this aside and carried on with their expansionary plans. And suddenly they're expanding into a desert. You know, whatever they thought, you know, looking for the oasis, it just wasn't there, or they haven't found it. And that's why we're just looking at stocks now falling apart. I mean, we can list 100 stocks there today that have just fallen into a big heap beside the retailers. And And I think the signs were there, and I think that Taps are a little too overambitious in wanting to make money or wanting to make a name for themselves. So
it's making our job as brokers very, very difficult because we can't really point anyone with any conviction and say, well, let's look at these counters because the big names have let us down so many times. Clients are saying, I'd rather be in Bitcoins because you've got.
That's a sad state of affairs. So let me ask you this question. I've asked David before, and Greg, I've sort of hinted at you, and I've asked lots of people. We are in South Africa, and as South Africans, we've been let down by government at the very, very highest level over the last few years. We've been let down by the public sector, whether it be the state-owned enterprises or the national airline. We've been let down by all those things. We've been let down by municipalities, which are not providing us with adequate service delivery. We've been let down by the private sector in many ways, and particularly I'm focusing now on the boardroom. We've also been let down by the asset management industry because they've been saying, you've got to buy this, you've got to buy that. And I understand their shrinking universe means that they have only got a tiny sort of target zone, if you like, of stocks that they can invest in. But I just think that everybody's just got it wrong. I don't know. Is it the fabric of our society? Do we get too full of ourselves after 1994? What is it, David? I'll start with you because you've got views on this.
No, I agree with you. I think you've summed it up beautifully. we've just read it wrong. We've read Africa. We believed our own publicity, and you know what happens. This is what upsets me, is that a lot of businessmen are asked to talk on a platform, and they go up on the platform and they believe that they must put a positive view. And they continue to push positive views without really believing it or being, without strong convictions themselves. And they start to kid themselves that, oh, things will come right. Why? Because in the past, we've been in a kind of cycle which corrects itself. And this will reoccur. And no one has read this correctly. And a huge amount of money. And look, again, I also say we've got analysts as well who say, this share represents deep value. This is really good value now. Why? Because they look historically and they take historical PEs. I'm saying, hold on a sec. If a company is making minus, in other words, its profits are falling, or alternatively, it's only growing at 2 or 3%, it doesn't deserve a double-digit multiple or PE. It needs to have a PE of 5 or 4, not 13, 14, or 15. And that's why if you read analyst reports, they always come, oh, this is an outperform. Even today, I'm just looking at some of the reports that have come out, and you just throw up your hands in exasperation. You say, hold on a sec, can't you see what's happening? Can you not see the signs that the demand is falling, this economy is shrinking and under pressure? Just be honest with yourself. Stop trying to appease your clients by telling them, don't worry, things will come right.
Greg will
I'm on your side, Lindsay. I think exactly what you've said has been the problem. And as soon as we face up the truth, we'll be able to turn this whole thing around.
Well, Greg used a very interesting analogy today when he was talking about a show called Top Gear, which used to be populated by one Jeremy Clarkson, one James May, and one, what's his name, Richard Hammond. And Greg, maybe over to you, so you can tell David exactly what we spoke about and why my position is so untenable because I rely on sponsors. Off you go.
Well, once Mr. Clarkson said, due to the unique way which the BBC is funded, and that's the key sentence, because the BBC doesn't rely on adverts from sponsors, they can say anything about any car, and they can tell you the newest Audi's a piece of junk because they're not going to lose the sponsor. Lindsay, on the other hand,
that's me. I'm still here.
Has to be very careful. I'm also careful. We can't say, X fund manager said this and he got it massively wrong, because we're all very careful. And we went to Jeremy Gardner's presentation in March, and he was super bullish on South Africa. And he made a very, very good case. I walked out of there and thought, well, everything's going to be fine. I've been to talks by Yanni Mouton as well. And basically, I went to one 3 years ago. He had Gibbs Business School. He said, if you're not positive on South Africa, then you've no point in investing. And he kind of talked all of us around. He gave a story where his daughter was involved in a minor crime and she's fine, and said, don't worry about the crime and everything was going to be right. But because it's, South Africa is such a resilient place, we've come through such terrible things and come out, you know, through apartheid and all those terrible things, we've come out on top. We think that we can carry on doing it. But the situation that we're in now is precarious. The debt and the government is dysfunctional. Mm. And well, it's terrifying.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm in a position, I'm like the BBC. I don't have any institutional clients. So
you can say what you
not
like.
Not like you, Greg. So I can say what I like.
Yeah. It's lovely to be like that.
Shanks,
in the
actually.
Older days, we dare not insult old neutral because they had the big purse. And we would go down to the Cape Town, you know, and crawl in on our knees and elbows and that. And the same thing with Sunlam.
Sure.
And if, you remember those days? We don't have to do that anymore. And for once, we can actually talk honestly about how things are. But, you know, with Yanni Mutton, if I had $1 billion in the bank, I'd also be extremely optimistic.
Be, you know what I mean? No problem.
Yeah, yeah, I tell you, this is the most wonderful place on earth, you know, and I would actually broadcast that from my penthouse in New York and say,
you'd made $1 billion.
Lindsay, yeah.
There was a famous story of the rabbi on his had left South Africa and was on his way to Israel, and he said it's a great place. We'll go there.
Well, that's exactly. So I think you've got to look at it in perspective. Lindsay, I've told you this many, many times before.
Go on.
My comments and my views are made by analyzing numbers, you know, the results. And I don't understand economics. I understand a cash book. You know, that's why I'm an accountant, not an economist. And the cash book tells you the cash that comes in, and it tells you the cash that goes out. Mm. And it tells you whether it was increased from last year or not. And when you start to read the cash book, I tell you, it gives you a different perspective on where South Africa is. And that's why. So if when you look at the ShopRite's cash book and you start to look at the Wilson Bailey Holmes's cash book, and as we go, Arsenal Mittal's cash book. Should I keep on continuing?
Oh, we'll come to that in a second. I mean, come on now, this is unbelievable. What's going on. Anyway, Greg, where did ShopRite has closed? I've got a 50-minute delayed screen. ShopRite has closed at what price, please, Greg? ShopRite.
126.86, which represents 9% down, 12.93 down. It turned over 6.3 million shares, which is 837 million rand. But if I look at the day chart from 12 o'clock till 2 o'clock, we've had a fall from sort of 137, where it looked as though it would hold, all the way down to the below 130. And so almost as I think the presentation began at 11:30, and it you could almost overlap the chart of the presentation with the share price. It did put in a low of 126.22, and then it looked as though it would rally, but it didn't manage to cobble together a rally. The market generally was weak at the end of the day, down to.
Well, let me put in a big long-term optimistic picture here, because you say 126.22, the low 5 years ago, according to shanet.co.za, was 126.11. 5 years ago, we've lost 5 years. Which is very, very scary indeed, because this is a fine, fine company.
Well, sure. And also, if you've got a pension fund and what have you, and you think, well, let me buy some ShopRite, I'll be very careful with, I won't touch it for 5 years, and after 5 years, I'm sure I've made a lot of money and I'll sell it, and you get your money back. But, I mean, if you'd sold it a year ago, you would have got north of 200. When Christo Visa did the previous book build, eventually the stock was placed at 208 rand, and then within a day or two it had rallied back to 220 rand. So all those people that participated in that book build were looking very clever. I actually turned shares down at that price, but I'm feeling a bit happier about it today.
Hulamin at one stage was down around about 8%, but on my, again, delayed screen, it's down about 5% at the moment. This was another disastrous trading update. David, you don't like these companies, do you?
Terrible. No, you know, Hulamin, first of all, I don't know what the issue is there. It's a business that was spun out of Tonga some time ago. Yeah, but it was when it listed many years ago, it was a superb business that manufactured aluminium added value to aluminium. It got it from Bayside or one of the one of the refineries there. I don't know where they get it today, but it really was a very, very good business. And I don't know where the wheels have come off. Today it has a market value of 600 million odd or 700 million rand. Lindsay, I have no doubt that if they sold the factories for scrap, they'd get more than that. So it just gives you an idea of just how wrong everything's gone. They make a very good product, which they would obviously export or was used in tins, mainly in tins or containers. You wrap your sandwiches in their product. What is it? I don't know. I don't know where this thing has gone belly up, and whether this is management or whether this is a function of of the economy again. You know, one's got to also ask questions about management and how they've got this completely wrong. From where it was, I'm just looking at the history. You know what I mean?
I mean, 2011, it was around 12 rand. But do you remember, David, there was a spate where there was a lot of unbundlings, and the thought was the two separate parts. And this was, I remember, the first one where the unbundling didn't unlock any value. The Hulamin and the Tong got separated, and we thought, oh, this is going to be an easy trade. I'll ride the Hulamin. And actually, around about the time, there was a book that came out called Fooled by Randomness. And it was actually spot on for me because I got fooled by I'll just buy every unbundling. But as you taught us a lesson. I mean, it's a 600 million market cap. I'm just looking at 2,200 employees. It's actually not really that big a company anymore.
No, it used to be. Yeah. It used to be a massive company. I remember when they did unbundle at the time, Mark Ingham, and please, no reflection on Mark. He was hugely bullish on the business. And I remember him recommending it up to about 40 rand or something like this. I mean, it's 2 rand at the moment. And even along the journey, there was always a positive view on how management was.
You could always find a bull on the stock for sure.
And you know, I used to respect Mark, and in the sense that he did his homework properly, you know, and I could never understand how, after having that view on the market, that this would actually fall to the kind of levels that they have. So I don't know where it went wrong from Mark's very bullish views, you know, years ago to where it is today.
You know you're talking about these predictions, and you couldn't find a seller of Steinhoff, for example, from at 97 rand on the day that it nearly went into three figures. You couldn't find a seller, and you also can't find an economist that doesn't say, "Well, I'm expecting inflation to be 5.2%, and it comes in at 4.6%," and they come out with a report the next day and say, "We've revised our views from 5.2% for the year down to 4.8%." I could do that. I'm sorry. I can come up with that sort of stuff. I can do it standing on my head, and I don't get paid for it. But they do get paid for it. Why is everyone getting it so wrong? Is it me?
Well, it could also be management misleading, people at presentations. And some of these trading updates, I'm thinking back now to ShopRite, wasn't that really basically too vague, really, for once you get a real feel, and then we get a decent trading update, and the actual results come out, they're terrible. Sorry, David.
No, not at all. I'm going back in history here, and I'm looking at Hulamin. I think they were unbundled on the 29th of June 2007. And they were 29.16 there. Yeah. And I think just charting them all the way down to 2 rand is honestly really a tragic history of what was a very, very good business. Now, I'm not sure what happened in 2007, what the market for aluminium was like, and also what the product prospects are. But it gives an idea of the journey and how, just value has been destroyed.
Okay, let's not have too much of a go at Hulamin. It is a very sad story. Yep. And just like he used to crawl like reptiles to Old Mutual in the northern suburbs of Cape Town and doff your cap to them and kowtow to them, you probably also used to go to Hulamin as well, down to KwaZulu-Natal and talk to management and say, what are the, can I get a couple of percent here and there? But anyway, let's move on to CAP now. And this is for you, David, because you know CAP quite well, I think. They came out with some results today. And And it's not that bad. I mean, their revenue increased by 12% to a very chunky $25.6 billion. And operating profit before capital items decreased by 13%. Not so good. But, now I'm looking down. It says headline earnings per share decreased by 25%. But obviously the market had factored that in. Yeah, please. I've been fooled by randomness, David.
To be honest, I didn't give this my full attention because I think they had given us some trading update some time ago. But I think it does expose or it does highlight, you know, the difficulties that they're having actually maintaining margins. I don't know where they came unstuck in this one, because this is another business where a year ago everybody was touting it as a quality share in a difficult market, and yet once again, you know, things have gone wrong. So I don't know where the exact problem was on this one, but you know, the share price has been, ever since they gave the warning in the halfway stage or 6 months ago, I think this has been falling.
Beginning of the year, it was just over R8. So it's lost a lot of altitude now.
You know what's interesting? I'm looking at ShopRite's price.
Yes.
The last I thought it was about 95 cents. Okay, so it's under R1. It highlights what you said as well about, 94 close.
Are you talking about Steinhoff?
Steinhoff.
Yeah, yes. Steinhoff, sorry. Yes. Four billion market cap now.
Yeah.
And probably this is going to zero. You know, I think this is just like rattling along there. But it gives there's a lesson there. When companies hit problems, just run away. You know, don't try to be the person who's going to turn it around.
Like Mr. Buffett always did. Mr. Buffett had a whiff of scandal when he was a big shareholder in Tesco in the UK, and something went on. I can't remember the details, and the semantics need not detain us. But there was something wrong with Tesco in the UK, and Buffett said, "That's it. I'm out of here." And he was absolutely right. Yeah. And that's what if we'd have done that with every single stock on the JSE over the last 3 years, we'd probably be probably be better off today.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Steinhoff, it's one of those things where it's not the actual crime, it's the cover-up. Why can't they just tell us what they've done?
Exactly.
Gentlemen, here's one for you, David, which Greg is going to comment on it. This is the results for the year ended 30th of June 2019. This is the short form announcement, which seems to be a new trend on the Stock Exchange News Service from a corporate point of view anyway. This is a gold company. It says here, Harmony is well positioned to benefit from higher gold prices. I was said to Greg, really? You're geniuses. Thank you very much for telling us that. But they were nice results, Greg.
Yes, I think what they're trying to say, and I thought about it after we spoke about this morning, is they're not really that hedged, really. And, I mean, at the end of the day, the share price did nothing in the whole – in the last hour or so of trade,
Americans,
it actually picked up some steam. Yes, Americans are the only ones that still own gold shares. And it put on 3.8%, 47 rand and 2 cents. So I think we're back to the recent high.
David Shapiro,
I'm surprised that the market cap there is 25 billion. You know, I always thought that I thought it was much smaller than that. But I'm glad to see that it's actually picked up some steam there.
I mean, from the past,
I've been influenced by looking at ArcelorMittal, you know, which is like 2 billion or something, and Hulamin, which is 600 million. I'm actually quite surprised that the gold miners are where they are, and as they're creeping into the top 10 of the JSE.
That's because they're well positioned.
These monsters have emerged.
David, you know what? You know why they're doing so well? Because they're well positioned to take advantage of a higher gold price.
There you are.
Sibanye is going to move into the top 40. I think he's going to
Can you believe it?
56 billion. Yeah. Who would have thought? But I mean, Harmony is literally, I mean, I think when your dad was buying gold shares, Harmony was around. It's almost like a name that people have forgotten in the gold space.
I don't think it minds where it originally was in those
days. Sure.
Okay, that's enough of that. BHP Billiton. BHP Billiton, David Shapiro, because this is a diversified miner that you have talked about enthusiastically in the past. Yeah.
I was surprised at the reason they came down now is apparently they missed on their forecasts or not forecasts, they missed on analysts' forecasts, not their forecasts. When I listened to McKenzie this morning, you know, he was quite upbeat, Andrew McKenzie, he was quite upbeat about where they were and what lies ahead. But when I read analyst reports, apparently costs were higher than they expected in most of the divisions, and that hurt their margins. I think the answer to to BHP is whether they can actually bring down costs and just take advantage of some of the prices that they are getting, certainly in iron ore. But dividend the same, dividend in line with where the market expected. But I still think this is they're spewing out cash at the moment. They haven't got any project on the drawing board. I think they're continuing along. And I suppose if something opportunistic comes, they might take it. But for the meantime, I think they're very well placed if the kind of prices that we're seeing now in iron ore continue. And even their coal prices, I think they've been picked up by, they make energy coal, metallurgical coal, so they're well placed there. But, a fairly good result, just down a little bit now on missing those forecasts.
Who was the guy that put the BHP Billiton deal together, David? Because Greg and I, neither of us could remember his name this morning.
Who took it to?
Who put the BHP and Billiton together? Broken Hill and Billiton.
Gilbertson.
Yes, that's it. Brian Gilbertson, of course.
Brian Gilbertson.
Yeah. Exactly. The ego has landed, they used to say, when
Mick
his helicopter used to come
there
on the...
as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mick Davis was involved. And they took it. It was Broken Hill, and they took it to Broken BHP.
Yes.
It used to be BHP, and they took Billiton, which was a UK company, I think, at that stage, took it to Australia, merged them, and now now it's back to BHP.
And Mick Davis is an extrator now.
He was extrator. Yeah. I don't know where he is now. He's Sir Mick to you.
Yes, I think he's a British politician now as well. Yeah.
Well, I think he resigned as chairman of the Conservative Party.
You can tell I'm quickly googling.
Yeah.
Cheat. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices before we get onto the carnage on the JSC. We've got the dollar rand at 15.35. We've got a British pound against the rand at 18.65, and the euro rand is 17.02. Euro dollar is 110.91. Euro getting weaker or dollar getting stronger or a combination of the two. The gold price has regained 15 as its big figure. It was 14.97 this morning. It's now 15.03, up $7 an ounce. The platinum price is 8.46, down 5.5. Greg, over to you for palladium, please.
Palladium up $9.50 at 14.89.
Okay, and the oil price is 59.48. A couple of little skirmishes in the last 24 hours in the Strait of Hormuz, but nothing too serious. But anyway, it's down 34 cents per barrel. And if I can go now to the international markets, what have we got? The Dow Jones, more or less flat. S&P, more or less flat. It's more or less flat across the board after a couple of really, really good days. Greg, let's have a look at the carnage and start with the downside. We'll end on a positive note by going to the upside. But give me the bottom five performers according to ShareNet.
Yes, well, as we were saying, a retail theme to it. On ShopRite, the worst performer, that was down 9.2%. Pick and Pay down 5.7%. That also probably on that Goldman Sachs downgrade. Discems, one that you always, I think that's your short.
That is my short.
Down 4%, 1985, so a big figure change there.
Yeah.
Pepcor down 3.5%, and then Willys, thought not to be outdone, down 3.4%.
Yeah, but Woolies, don't forget, was in the low 40s. So, I mean, this is up 25% from its lows, hasn't it?
Yes, good.
Yeah. David Shapiro, you're a Woolies man, aren't you?
Yeah, I buy Country Road, all the time, I enjoy Country Road, but, I mean, they never change their fashion. They never change anything. And I've been going there, I pass through Woolworths every day of my life to go buy some sweets in there, and I pass through the Country Road store. Never changes. Tenery as well. And I always curse them.
So why don't you just keep the same clothes and just wash them occasionally?
Well, that's all I do. Remember those old days of wearing suits? You don't have to do that anymore.
I like wearing a suit. It slims me down. Greg, have a look at these numbers. I mean, is this just a moment in time? Is this just, we had to sell Pick and Pay, Dis-Chem, Pepcor and Woolies because ShopRite was down? Or is there some substance to this, do you think?
I think those downgrades and then just selling in that space has become contagious. And as I was saying, if ShopRite can't get its act together, then it's the economy that's the real problem. It's not the retailers. Okay, they have made mistakes and they could have run the ship a little tighter, but what they've got, the playing field is just too difficult at the moment for them.
On the upside, Goldfields up 5.1%, Harmony up 3.8%, AngloGold Ashanti was a 3.7% gainer today, Santam for some reason up just over 3%, and Motus up 2.8%. Any stories there, gentlemen, amongst those ones, apart from obviously the higher gold price and the weaker rand?
Yeah, that's an easy one, Charles. I'll take the easy one, David. Yeah, the gold, gold shares all lifted in the afternoon when Americans come in. I think it's weird. It seems to be some sort of algo. As soon as gold goes up above 1,500, then they start snapping up gold shares. And if it goes 1,499, they stop.
That's strange. I've just watched outside of those top 40. I see Cura and Stadio trying to creep up a little bit there as well. There are a few shares that were in there. Just on the negative side, outside the top 40 as well, Lindsay, I just see ArcelorMittal being hammered here. I always look at the market cap, and you have this great ISCOR that's now trading at $2.4 billion, which is nothing. Grindrod's also been a company under a lot of pressure. Blue Label now continues to fall to new lows now all the time as well. So we see, and one that I watched, which at one stage was down 11 or 12%, was Lipstar. It's a fairly new listing. Got a lot of good brands under its name, but most recently under enormous pressure. Again, I can't attribute it to anything. It hasn't been on the market long enough to build a history.
When you say that, David, I mean, if you analyze the chain of events, Lipstar produces biscuits and all sorts of things, which are probably bought by Shoprite and Pick and Pay and et cetera.
No brand, and no this, name
and,
brand.
And their stocks are high, as evidenced by the Shoprite results. So they don't need to buy anymore. So obviously, Lipstar doesn't have a forward book, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Now, these are food producers, and they've got quite a. I think they do a lot of no-name brands as well. So it's part of the food chain or part of the supply chain.
Greg, give us the closing JSE indices, please.
Sure. So the bank's up 0.14. A lot of last-minute buying in the auction. I saw the financials actually flat for the day. Industrials down 0.22. Retailers, we spoke about, down nearly 1.5. Gold shares doing their thing, up 3.78. Plats up 1.33. Resources, I think Billiton pulled them down 0.45. That left the oil share down 0.19, 106 points lower at 54,281. Volumes are slipping back again, just under 19 billion rands worth of shares.
It just seems that everybody, David Shapiro, because you were moaning to me before we spoke on Shapiro World on Monday yesterday, you were moaning to me about when is this going to end? And I thought, well, maybe I'll have a quiet period for the rest of August and September we can reconvene. But it goes from one sector to the next. I mean, I had no idea that the retail sector, I had no inkling, I don't think anybody did, that the retail sector would be so badly smacked about today. It's terrible.
Lindsay, you know what? I think that what we are seeing now matches any collapse in the markets that we see. Okay, when you talk about the retailers, when you talk about SA Inc. companies, in other words, let's put them into the small and medium cap category, not those very heavyweight internationals, because that's masked some of the carnage that we've seen. But I mean, when we do our sums and see the amount of money that has been lost, it's absolutely staggering in terms of this carnage that we've seen. So this equals, in my mind, the 69s and the 87s and the other collapses.
Yeah, even the 2008 and 2009. But I mean, the things we're doing this on our own. I mean, the rest of the world.
Exactly. Well done. Yeah. Dead right, Greg. Dead right.
Yeah, and it hasn't been a slow grind either. It hasn't. I mean, 87. I remember that was my first and most favourite crash. It's like you take a plaster.
Favourite crash.
Yeah, it was my favourite crash. I mean, if I had to rank my crashes, 87's right up there. But it's like taking a plaster off. You don't do it slowly. You just rip it off, and that's what 87 was. You just. This what we've had in South Africa on the JSE Securities Exchange has been peeling that plaster off slowly. Yeah. Every single time you do it, it gets more and more painful. And I don't know, when is it going to end? Anyway, let's talk about football if we can, because I have to say to a Manchester United supporter, Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos, if Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge, then there's no way that Paul Pogba would still be at the club after picking the ball up from the regular penalty taker Marcus Rashford, and obviously Gary Neville said, I knew this was going to happen. He missed the penalty. He would be on suspension now. It's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is too nice.
You would remember what happened to David Beckham. Sir Alex kicked a boot, I believe, and it flew up, hit him in the face, and he had the plaster on his eyebrow. Progba would have had the same treatment last night, I'm sure.
It was a fun game, but I'm sorry, he's out of his depth, Solskjaer, with that team. David, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Gary, Frank Lampard's in a similar position as well.
Yeah.
I think they
probably
I don't
too
think
young. They don't respect him now.
Haven't got the experience of even the Marinos. I mean, you can criticize all of them. They had a certain presence and knowledge and Wengers and so on. We've got a lot of them, but I think these chaps, I don't know if they're going to make the season. Let's see. Because I looked at Chelsea, they look awful. Listen, Man United have got some very, very talented players. And to have drawn that match, I don't know. It shouldn't have got to that stage.
It's a bit of a bogey team at Wolves as well. They seem to always manage to do this to us.
Well, at the end of last season, Greg, there were about 10 bogey teams for Man United. What's that?
Billy Wright played for Wolves, wasn't he? Billy Wright.
Lindsay will remember.
He won't remember.
Billy Wright, didn't he play for Bolton Wanderers? No?
No. Wolves. Go. Nat Lofthouse played. No, he was Preston North End. Bolton.
Go and buy some sweets from Willie's, David. David Shapiro is from Sasson. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. And don't forget the big game tonight, Ipswich Town versus AFC Wimbledon in the third division. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.